Sports franchise owners, casinos, those fantasy game sites where players form teams and compete, are some of the big winners after the Supreme Court overturned a federal ban on sports betting last week, allowing states to decide how and if they want to legalize it. But are the losers future gambling addicts? Problem gambling already impacts an estimated 2 million Americans a year. Our two guests today say if it's going to be legalized outside Vegas, put in speed bumps like betting limits, training for casinos, tracking data. Leah Naur is director of the Center for Gambling Studies at Rutgers University in New Jersey, the state that sued to legalize sports gambling. Her research found that most sports bettors in New Jersey are 18 to 34 years old. Half of them gamble once a week or more. Almost two-thirds of them are at high risk of becoming addicted. Hi, Leah.
Hello.
And we also have Michael Burke, Executive Director of the Michigan Association on Problem Gambling, but he's a board member of the nonprofit National Council on Problem Gambling, author of Never Enough, One Lawyer's True Story of How He Gambled His Career Away, and that lawyer would be him. Mike, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And Leah, I want to start with you. When we talk about sports betting, we're talking about placing bets on games online and maybe increasingly at casinos, racetracks, maybe at the corner store. Your immediate thoughts?
My immediate thoughts are that based on studies that we've done, these folks that gamble on sports tend to gamble more often and have more problems than the average gambler. So you have to have safeguards in place, which we do have online, but not necessarily at racetracks.
Well, the National Council on Problem Gambling, Mike, that's you. These are some of the concerns that your organization has. You want some of these safeguards in place. Like what?
What we're asking for is that the states start to pony up money to take care of the problems that are going to result because of this increase in gambling. We know that whenever there's an expansion of legalized sports gaming in the United States, there will be an increase in gambling participation, which also means we know that there will be an increase in gambling problems. In all the states that are going to legalize sports betting, we hope will be responsible stewards and help to take care of the problems that are going to exist.
So you're talking about ensuring that any expansion of sports gambling includes dedicated funds to prevent or treat gambling addictions. Sports betting shouldn't even be allowed in a state without funding for problem gambling services. Leah, is this the kind of thing you're talking about as well, preemptively trying to fund care for the problem that you see in the future?
Yes, a lot of legislation throws money at treatment. And my experience has been that by the time people need treatment, there's already a lot of devastation.
So players should be able to maybe set weekly or monthly deposit, loss, win, and time limits prior to gambling. This is something else that's been suggested by your group, Mike, the Council on Problem Gambling. Almost set up a system where players regulate themselves, and if they go over, there's some tripwire?
Yes, and I was in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago speaking at the state gambling conference, and one of the groups that also spoke was MGM Grand Casino and Hotel. They talked about their new GameSense program. They come in, they help their clients set limits as far as the amount of time they gamble and the amount of money they spend. They're taking a really big step to help people get assistance before they get into the later stages of problem gambling.
But I'm wondering, Mike, share with us some of your story, because it seems so compulsive at a certain point that compulsive, addicted gamblers will do end runs around whatever limits are in place. You were stealing from your clients. You were a successful lawyer representing people, and you were taking their money to try to pay back your debt.
I probably had gambled 14 or 15 years. I'd go out to Vegas once a year. We did not have gambling in Michigan at that time, except for the lottery. And my downfall was proximity. They opened a casino in Windsor that was less than an hour from Howell, where I lived. I found that I started going over a couple days a week, spending what I thought was a reasonable amount of money, up to $300. I set the limits, I maintained them. But what happened is down the road, of course, that changes, and I start chasing the money I've lost. And I actually ended up embezzling $1.6 million from my clients. And I spent 3 to 10 years as a result of this in Jackson Prison.
Yeah. Look, you write, gamblers lose. They must lose. That's how the house functions. If there's a game that gamblers are winning too much at, they take it away. What would have happened to you if there was online betting? You talk about proximity.
It's really hard for me to tell, because about the time that my life exploded was the time that this was all starting up. And we talk about the proximity model being around 50 miles, that if you're a person who's predisposed to having a gambling problem, that 50 miles is a limit when they open a new venue where a person is predisposed to a gambling problem, those problems will double.
Well, Leo, what do you do? What do you anticipate? You talk about trying to have these preventive speed bumps. Are you concerned that, you know, there will be people like Michael who just, it's so diluted? I mean, that he would steal from clients.
I mean, I do a lot of work with gamblers who are charged with crimes, and that's not uncommon. What I'm concerned about is that we don't have these preventative mechanisms and accountability in the places like racetracks. Casinos have a long history with like self-exclusion programs. Some work more than others. But if the states don't require evaluation and accountability like we have in New Jersey for online, there's no way to find out if these people really do have these resources. So that's my primary worry, particularly at a racetrack where you go there to bet on a horse, and then you're betting on sports, and then you're doing it on your cell phone. The more things you do, the more likely you're to get yourself underwater.
And so, just again, what are some of the speed bumps you'd like to see?
I would like to see a standardized protocol for educating people on what options there are to set their limits. And I would like to see whoever offers the sports betting, that a percentage be dedicated not just to treatment, but also to evaluating the outcomes of these responsible gaming programs every year, meaning that the venues have to keep the data, and then the data is evaluated on who is playing, who is opting for these different limit setting mechanisms, how are they working, and how can we improve them? So that it's a very dynamic system aimed at harm reduction.
Boy, that gets into some privacy issues, though, doesn't it? I mean, if casinos know when somebody's regularly going over the limit that they've set for themselves, what do you do? Contact the family? I mean, what do you do?
There's a lot of different countries and states that have different ways of dealing with this. Some people use pop-ups. I mean, in a sports arena, understand that these casinos all know what people are spending. Mm. And that's what's used for marketing purposes to get them to spend more money.
Yeah.
And so they can use this for good, to help educate the person. Hey, you set this limit for yourself. You then took it off. Now you're 3 times your limit. Would you like to set this again? Would you like to look at this again?
Mike, would that have helped you?
I definitely think so. Mm. But I will tell you, I have a very strong feeling about how we can do the most good. And that is to go into substance abuse treatment centers and start mandating that they do more educating to their clients about not trading their substance abuse addiction for a gambling addiction. And that is exactly what I did.
What, did you go from abuse of alcohol maybe to gambling?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I stopped drinking 40 years ago. But what I did is I traded it for another addiction.
Yeah.
I never got involved in drugs after my treatment, because the people at the treatment center terrified me about trading an alcohol addiction for a drug addiction.
But nobody terrified you about trading it for gambling?
No.
That's Michael Burke, executive director now of the Michigan Association on Problem Gambling, but a recovering gambler, as we just heard, and Leah Naur, director of the Center for Gambling Studies at Rutgers University. I want to thank you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Robin, thank you very much.
And your thoughts, would a pop-up warning on your computer screen keep you from going over your limit? And your thoughts in general on the legalization of sports gambling are welcome at hereandnow.org.